Hey Rod, are you ready to go balls deep in sports?
Bonjour, and welcome to another episode of Balls Deep Sports on the Blackout Tips Premium Podcast Network. I am your host, a little under the weather here, but still gonna make it through the show, Rod. And I have my co-host here, as always, my man Jay Treasy. What's going on, Justin?
Got the leash.
Got the leash back to you, brother. You know what I'm saying?
Let's say that's my Ethiopian homegirl over. That mean we killing it.
Oh, we killing it out here then. Got the leash. Yeah, man. It's, the slowest week in sports, this week, because it's, also the same week as an all-star game in the NBA. Baseball hasn't started yet. Football is over, but, we're here to get you through. Okay. Shit still happened. People were still talking, and I feel like it's our job to catch all the news that slips through the cracks. Let's go ahead and get this thing started with our traditional song.
Howdy.
You know how when I go in the ball pit at Cheesy Charlie's and I sink all the way down to the bottom and you can't find me?
That day?
That's right, Dad. I'm talking about balls deep. I'm talking about balls deep. I'm talking about balls deep in love. I'm talking about balls deep. I'm talking positive traits. Give a pound into a feeling. Make a south mouth salivate. He Tyra, are you listening? We're not talking just the tipping. Thank you, Scottie Pippen. No problem, just here dropping off an application. Players in my day didn't make as much as they do today.
Sorry to hear that.
Where was I?
You're talking about balls deep. We're talking about balls deep in love. I'm talking about balls deep. My boy's talking about balls deep. We're talking about balls deep in love. Now to make our money off the internet. apparently my man Ricky Three Stacks, Rick Pitino, is against, man. I don't know if you heard this week, but on Fox Sports Live, they tweeted the above picture about Rick Pitino that says, it's a quote, "I think anybody in sports who reads social media is not all there. To me, it's the great class of underachievers who live on the internet and social media. I think it's people who waste their time and underachieve because they're not paying attention to what they should be."
You know, when I first heard that, I was like, what are you mad for? And then I was like, uh-oh, he might have something leaking out soon.
Like, maybe he's back, you know, because, you know, the reason I call him Ricky Three Stacks is because this is the man who lost 18, well, he lost $18 million over an affair, basically. You know, like, this is a dude that paid $3,000, allegedly, for an abortion, which you got to check the prices on. Maybe if he had used the internet to find out how much an abortion costs, he could have saved himself something to the tune of $2,700.
You got to go to Bing, dog.
Yeah.
Ask.com, Yahoo, Google. Maybe you heard of these sites before.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, this man cost himself a lot of money. I'm sorry, Bobby Petrino was the one that cost himself $18 million. But, you know, he barely survived. You know, he was fucking in a restaurant. Why did I learn this? On the internet. Of course he don't want me on the internet.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I say he got something else coming out, man. It's going to leak. And he want all his players not to see it.
Mm-hmm.
He want to be the first one to give it to him.
Yeah. He was fucking in some Italian restaurant. He had his boy being lookout. You know, meanwhile his boy actually is in love with the woman that he's fucking. they lined up together to get the money from him. Like they was about to get her kids' college tuition in a car through this dude. Like, of course he don't want people on the internet.
He wanted back the old school way. You check the back of the newspaper.
Yeah.
See who popping, see who trying to fuck for free.
He want to be able to tell reporters it's none of their business. And they go, okay, I'm sorry. Because I won't do this interview with you no more if you don't take that part out about me fucking these bitches. You know, speaking of coming up short and underachieving, he's a Minuteman, Justin. That was also in the report that he was busting out a little early.
I mean, he is kind of old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, kind of. He what, in his 60s now?
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely taking Viagra.
Yeah, it took 6 years for this to unfold. And how do I know this? The internet.
Thank you, internet.
Thank you, internet.
All the internets.
For helping me overachieve. I wouldn't have known this.
Every last one of the internets.
All the internets. We appreciate you because without you, we wouldn't even have known that this dude was out here busting it off within a couple minutes.
Did Rob from Black Sports Online get the exclusive?
You know, I don't know if that towel hit this one up. But, you know, not that I would have been surprised, but, you know, this is before I was on that towel like that.
Because he's known for having exclusive, boy.
Yeah, well, he busted an exclusive this week anyway, so.
I know he got that Ray Rice.
Yeah, he caught that Rice. But before we can even get into that, man, did you watch any of the All-Star festivities for the NBA this weekend?
I did. The only thing I missed was the celebrity games.
And honestly, the celebrity games, to me, are the funnest. I actually enjoy that game the most, and I didn't get to catch it this year, unfortunately, because I was doing a podcast at the time. But I actually enjoy the celebrity games because it's cool to see people that are bad at basketball play basketball for in front of everybody, you know.
Yeah, except that one dude that worked for the president.
He's good.
Tall white dude. Yeah, he lets you know, especially when you saw that clip with the president shooting out on bricks.
Mm-hmm.
And you see him actually on the NBA court.
Yeah.
Getting buckets. He'll let you know he's serving the president on their weekly games.
He'd be like, yeah, I don't take it easy on Obama. I'll be hitting him with this hook. Hit him with that cross. But I forget that dude's name. Rich something Duncan, right?
Yep.
But yeah, that dude was beasting out. I'll tell you who was beasting out the most, though. Wale. Have you seen the clip of Wale plays?
No, I missed it. That's why I hadn't seen any of the
Dude, I'm gonna send you this video. Wale is the fucking worst. He tried to make a pass and it was so bad. Like, it like a little kid when they try to throw a basketball, cause the basketball is like, so big, you know, like a basketball for a little kid.
Yeah, it's too heavy.
It's too heavy. So they end up like slipping and throwing the ball backwards and shit. Oh, let me see if I get this to play. This is the pass he tried to do, right here on this vine. You see that? Dude, he almost threw that shit into the backcourt from the three line.
It wasn't nobody around for that pass.
Nope. And then when he tried to lay it up, he threw an owl off the glass hard and shit. My favorite part of the, of Wale trying to get the pass back. I mean, of him throwing a bad pass, is he does that thing that sorry people do where they fuck up and everybody see it, then they be like, woo, woo, try to call for it back.
Yep.
Like, let me get it back and redeem myself.
This is the thing. I thought with the celebrity game, that people that actually could play some ball a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of them guys, you see them, even like when they had Usain Bolt out there, mm-hmm. like he was out there dunking it like he looked like he'd been on the court before.
Yeah. Apparently, Wale didn't get the memo that, you know, you should probably like try to play basketball once or twice.
See, he got
put your head out there.
He got that first and 10 pumping his head up for all the wrong reasons.
Dude, that pass is so bad. It's going to live with him forever, dude. Like, he can never go on first and 10 again.
It might fuck up his rap career.
It might, if it's not already fucked up as is. He already making these passion fruit songs and shit. Duke.
I mean, first of all, you know, not too many people watch college. Well, neither one of us really watch college sports. Mm-hmm. If we do, it's the ACC. And I enjoy watching ACC games, especially when it's real rivalries like Carolina and Duke.
Mm-hmm. I do too, especially last night.
Duke, are they still ranked?
They were ranked number 5 last night.
Yeah, they might want to check the ranking system and check that out. Because Carolina beat them totally off of just we want to win more than you, not off talent, not off any skill, not off any coaching.
With that shitty ass reffing they were doing out there.
Terrible reffing.
But God damn, that was a horribly reffed game.
But you know, at the end of the game, it might have been Paige or somebody went up for a layup. Mm-hmm. No foul was called. They gave it back the other way later on in the game. They gave it back.
Oh, yeah, but on some real shit though, man, like, that no call when Paige went up was so crucial to the game. Like, they were coming back. That would have been, I think that would have tied the game up.
Yeah, it was
they
like
had been
3 minutes
deep.
Left in the game. Yeah.
They D'd up hard the second half. Man, that dude didn't hit no ball. He just knocked his ass to the ground. I was like, y'all serious? Like, all the little shit y'all been calling? Because my thing is not about Carolina needing to get every call. Obviously, I would like that. But my problem is that these motherfuckers do not call consistently, man. Like, you'll see a play, one play down, it'll be like a touch foul. Don't touch a dude on the perimeter. The next play down, it'll be like a dude get pushed in the air and then it don't be no call at all. And I'm saying for either team. And it's frustrating to me because I'm just like, man, call it even.
McAdoo get a lot of calls, man, to be a terrible free throw shooter.
Dude. But do you know what the thing is with McAdoo? I mean, Carolina in general, I felt like they deserve more calls than Duke last night. And I'm not saying that as just a fan.
But you're at home.
But not even that. You notice where they getting their shots? In the paint.
Yeah, they was.
Like, Duke pulling them trays on a routine basis, man. Like, you ain't getting fouled out there.
They were doing a lot of deep penetration on Duke.
Yeah, they was getting all up in Duke. No Michael Sam. No disrespect.
And Duke, they seemed to be ready for it. Like, they wanted it. They wanted Carolina to go deep.
Right.
Like, they was like, don't shoot these jumpers on us.
Mm-hmm.
When they just busted wide, they just busted the lane wide open.
And I've been saying for a minute that Duke was ready to lose. I was nervous though, because I thought they might have, with the snow, they might have had more time to prepare for Carolina by waiting a week and putting that ass whipping off to another week. And Carolina was playing so good, and then Duke was actually struggling. They were winning some close games, but they were struggling with like Maryland and shit. So I was like, yeah, this is our chance to beat them. And then I thought Maryland gave them the scare that they needed to like get motivated for the Carolina game. I was wrong.
You know, the thing is, man, when I finally flipped to the game, I was like, you know, I really don't know any Duke fans. I know one Duke fan. And he lives in Durham, grew up in Durham. His father used to take him to the Duke games, and that's why he's a Duke fan. And then I was trying to figure out, why is he a Duke fan, though?
Right.
Like, he's so everything that's anti-Duke.
Yeah, my dad's a Duke fan. Rob, that we play ball with, is a Duke fan.
Right, like, that makes sense, that Rob would be a Duke fan. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
But you know what's funny, though, is I don't see any of them niggas today. I went to the gym this morning. Rob is always at the gym early in the morning playing ball. When I was playing ball with him Monday and I was talking that shit. That's right. I talked that shit even though I knew we were unranked and they was ranked. I was like, y'all scared to get this ass whooping. Y'all scared of that snow. Now, was I just saying that because, you know, I figured I might as well get this shit talking out the way, because if we lost, I wouldn't have anything to say? No. I was building up my excuses ahead of time. It's like, you know, y'all getting this extra time to prepare, that might be the only reason y'all beat us, if y'all beat us, but we gonna whoop y'all ass anyway, and all that shit. And he was talking all this shit back, like, whatever, man, we gonna smack y'all down. And what happened? They got their ass whooped. And where was he at yesterday? I mean, this morning? Not to be found. Like a typical Duke fan. Look on Twitter, man. They ain't around no more. Look at Darth Vin. She gone. She was a Duke fan. Everybody knows that. That's what really happened.
That's why she got exposed.
Yeah, she was really rooting for that sweater she had on was a Duke sweater.
When's the last time Duke won anything? Was it back with Grant Hill?
Shit, I don't know, man. I feel like they won a couple titles since then, man. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but it feels like they had to won a championship at least sometime in the last 10 years.
How could you be a Duke fan just based off of their mascot? It's a fucking devil.
It's a white devil. What could be more telling than the fact that your mascot is the white devil? Come on, man.
That's that Illuminati shit right there. Like, it's so in your face Illuminati that you ain't even recognizing. You don't even know it.
But it was so good to watch Duke struggle in that second half. I was nervous. Like, I was at a bar and I was talking shit. And then we was down at halftime. And I was like, let me just go home because, you know, this is not looking too good.
Oh, that's right. Thursday night, you do go out on Thursday
right.
night.
Right. And I go out with some Duke fans. Some of them dudes like Duke. They white men. They white devils. So it makes sense. But, yeah, they was talking all this shit, man. And I was like, we ain't getting no calls. It was like, whatever, man. Y'all just scared. Y'all losing. I was like, we not hitting free throws. And that's true. You know, that's killing us, too. But these calls are terrible. And then the second half, when the calls went against them, they could see what I was talking about. All of a sudden, it was like, oh, damn, these refs ain't that good. So anyway, man, it felt good. The best part about this, man, is I feel like it brings unity back to black people. Because, like, for a long time, man, light-skinned dudes have been getting a reputation of being some soft crybaby-ass niggas because of Drake and, you know, other stuff that's going on. And it was good to see, like, a group of light-skinned dudes just get tough, go in there and play physical.
Carolina is pretty light-skinned.
Dude, this is the most light-skinned team we've ever had. Like, and I mean that in as an adjective and a verb. And a noun.
Duke normally have all light skinned players.
Yeah, like this is a complete role reversal. Like I've never seen a team this light skinned, Justin, for UNC. And I don't just mean skin tone. I mean just like I can't figure them out. You know what I mean? Like sometimes they shoot shots where I'm just like, man, that's a terrible shot, and it goes in. And then sometimes they don't play defense, and then sometimes they do. Like they just real sometimey, you know.
Man, this when I look at them boys and I look at some of the things they're doing, and I'm like, they doing that without even trying. Like, that's not coaching. That's just, they just did something that made sense. And it's like, Roy didn't coach them that, and they didn't know they were supposed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It just worked out. And I'm like, imagine them boys with some coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Roy need to get some good assistance, man. I don't know what the problem is.
Honestly, man, I can't even shade Roy, man. Like, I think this might be his best coaching job ever.
Of not coaching?
No, of coaching. Like, you know, obviously we had He Who Shall Not Be Named that is playing in the NBDL, was supposed to be a big part of this team.
He said, fuck school.
Said, fuck a school. I'm about to drive these cars, smoke this weed, motherfucker.
He said, fuck this last semester. He literally, during the Christmas break, said, fuck this last semester.
Can't blame him. But... you know, Roy, man, he really got left out in the cold this year. And then, you know, like, we was depending heavy on, like, McDonald to be, a school. I don't know when this happened. You know, it's that college thing where whenever you need something, all of a sudden, that player becomes it. You know what I'm talking about? Where it's like, we don't got no three-point shooting. Oh, what you talking about, boy? McDonald can shoot some threes. You're like, I don't know. Like, have you been watching all these games, or you just talking? But, yeah, so I think Roy did a good job, man. Like, they've beaten, it was something like top five teams this year. Like, they've lost some bullshit games, but they won some pretty damn impressive wins, too.
I feel like they went in despite of Roy. Kind of like how Cleveland was winning despite of Brown.
I would say that if I thought this team was that talented, but I don't think they are.
But that's what I'm saying. It's not even a talent. It's just, like we both saying, that they're doing things without even realizing, like, they're making a smart play. Like, that was a smart play, but you didn't realize it was smart. You didn't try to make a smart play. It just ended up working out that way.
Yeah, I guess I just look at it differently. Like, I give that to coaching because I feel like that's what coaching is. Like,
it's one of those things, like, you see McAdoo get a million charges in a game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something he learned two seasons ago. And you was like, somebody was, you know, like, from the first year to last year, you could tell, like, he progressed on.
Mm-hmm.
And then from last season, this season, it's like, well, why hadn't he still progressed? He's at the age where he should be progressing every year. And it's like, what happened to the coaching? And the other boys might take a charge, maybe. They might be in the right defensive spot. They might make a good offensive pass. They might take care of the ball. They might not. Like, I saw a steal at the end of the game, and your point guard was just dribbling around, and he dribbled into the double team.
Yeah.
And I was like, coaching would have told him never dribble into the double team.
I mean, they're still kids, so they gonna fuck up some. You know what I mean? Like, keep in mind, you're saying this as we're beating a Coach K coach team with more talented players.
Right, but that's what
like I'm... I just think because this shit happens a lot in North Carolina, and I think it's kind of whack. Roy can coach, and he outcoached Coach K last night, and we're gonna talk about it.
The best thing he did was not put that big dude in. Y'all got this. Is that him, Meeks?
The fat dude.
Man, he is huge.
He is fat.
He is huge.
Fat. I like him though. I like me a good fat basketball player.
But he
man.
Wouldn't have, man.
I mean,
he scored in 2 seconds. One at the end of the game, it was like 30 seconds left. And they
I mean,
scored
we had to guard,
seconds.
We had to guard their perimeter guys, and the way they were calling it, I don't know that Meeks could have done much anyway.
That's what I'm saying. That was the smartest thing he did was not put him in the game.
Did you? Well, did you also notice that he called some timeouts? I noticed it.
Did he call it or the players call him?
Nah, come on. In college, only the coach calls timeouts, man. Now, one time a player did call one when he was about to get a 5 second violation, and I was like, I bet Roy pissed. Roy hate calling timeouts, dog.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, the players have to be calling these. Cause it was that one time I was like, wait, why are they calling timeout? Duke not even ready to play defense right now. They should be going down the court and running more timeout.
All I know is last night he outcoached the shit out of K. They called a timeout one play. And if it wasn't for the refs, another horrible fucking call, we would have got a dunk out of a timeout inbounds play when Duke was only down like 4 and they were looking to foul. And Roy drew up a perfect play where like, he got it to Page, passed the double team, and then, got it. And we would have had McAdoo open for a dunk. Or he could have passed it one more time and like Tokido would have got a dunk or some shit.
Man, Tokido played huge. I couldn't even pronounce his name before last night. the announcer kept saying it. I was like, he actually is doing a good job. All the rebounds.
He be dunking on niggas too, man.
Oh, but you know when Paige got in the game, I was worried that was the best decision Roy could have made. I was like, it seemed like the logical decision. He the backup. He should come in the game. But just because Roy actually went to him and had to choose somebody to come off the bench because your player fouled out, it was like, I don't know that it's going to work out well.
Man, all I know is Coach Roy did his thing. Coach K got out coached last night. And at least for a week, we can, or at least a couple of days, I guess, until the next game, UNC fans can stop shitting on Roy for just a couple of days, man. Because they, like, that's the thing about UNC fans that I hate is these niggas act like, coaches like Roy just grow on trees. Like Darty wasn't a thing. Like we wasn't like we ain't experienced what it's like to actually have a bad coach. Well, you sitting around like, damn dog, you gonna drop a play or you just gonna yell at the refs? Like it's more to this shit than being angry.
You just gonna live off the Carolina name, huh?
Right. Like, cause if you on some real shit, man, I don't feel like Roy has been recruiting the kind of player that, you know, is an NBA one and done caliber player, right? But he's been getting some good results out of these teams anyway. I mean, I think people got to give him more props than he gets, man. Cause, you know, before this, man, to me, Carolina basketball meant you recruit motherfuckers that are going to the NBA. They're going to become all stars. And we're going to be talking about how great we are because all our players are in the NBA being all stars.
That was an argument for a long time.
That, right?
I think Felton and them messed it up.
When's the last NBA All-Star we put into the fucking league?
Felton and them messed it up for y'all, man.
But I mean, we had people after that. Ty Lawson?
No, like, but I'm saying, like that class right there with Felton and Sean May.
Yeah.
Then it became suspect of we can't draft all their players.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to have to start being more selective about which Carolina players we put in the league.
Because that was like Marvin Williams, Rashawn McCants.
Right.
Yeah, that was a terrible, but like,
I think Felton the only one, is he the only one still in the league?
Marvin Williams still in the league.
Felton and Marvin?
Yeah.
Man, they had 6 players go to the league that year.
Dude, but the thing is, man, it's not like, you know, the team was super duper, like ever since then, it's not like we've had these NBA caliber guys as far as like all-star players and shit or one and done. Like Jabari Parker would be stupid to come back to school. You know what I mean? Like we haven't had that dude yet.
I don't even think he's that good, man.
Okay, yeah, let's move to the next topic, man.
I was watching.
I mean, he wasn't good enough last night. You know what I'm saying? He definitely came up short last night.
He reminded me of the guy that has the green light. And just because you had a green light don't mean you that good.
Had a green light, that's true.
It just means you might be the best player on your team. Mm-hmm. But I think Hood is a... I think Hood would be a lot better NBA player than Parker.
I like Hood a lot, man. I don't think he'll be better than Parker, but I like Hood a lot. But
see, I think he will.
I mean,
man.
I just think if Jabari Parker had a better coach, he might be able to live up to his potential in college. But he's gonna probably go on to be like Kyrie Irving and a lot of other Duke players, where they just stop there for 1 year, underachieve, and then they go to the pros and become the actual player they're supposed to be. You know, because they're not being really taught. They're not really being coached up in college and able to learn, you know, by the end of the season, you know, how to be a better player than when they came in. So, and that's kind of the downside of having just a factory, where you just want to get the number one recruit, have him for a year and send his ass to the NBA. You don't really get a chance to coach him up. Like, that's why it's funny to me when people shit on Roy. Cause like, if you give a kid 2 to 3 years with Roy, they will be a better player than when they came in. Like, players, hands down. It doesn't matter who the player is, but, yeah, with Coach K, man, you got a lot of dudes coming out of there and they go into the NBA to be good. But when they're in college, it's like, they wasn't the deal like that. But nah, I like Jabari Parker. I think he's going to be a good NBA prospect. He just needs to get good coaching.
I don't know. I feel like he going what's your boy for Cleveland?
Kyrie Irving?
Not Waiters or Irving. The other one. The number
Tristan
one.
Tristan Thomas? Oh, Bennett.
Yeah, he just seems like that guy to me. Like, man, right now he playing against boys. Mm-hmm. So it's easy for him. Mm-hmm. But when he get out there in the NBA, I don't think he's not going to get, you know, all the shots every game. He's not going to get that LeBron treatment where you can just shoot when you feel like it.
We'll see, man. We'll see. That's an interesting prospect, man. I think one of the things I like about him is he seems like he has whole control. And that's one of the things that, you know, I look into when I'm looking at a prospect is like, you know, what kind of whole control does this dude got? Like, you know, his haircut was pretty good. You know what I mean? Like little stuff like that. I was looking at like,
man, there's a lot of nice barbers in Durham.
Yeah, but you look at the Chapel Hill kids. You know the hair was kind of on struggle, man.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. He in Durham. That's
yeah, but traditionally Duke players they're in Durham, but they don't go get their haircut because they're scared to leave campus. You know what I mean?
Right, I get that. That's what I'm saying. But if you leave campus, you can get you a nice barber.
Mm-hmm. And why would you leave campus? Why would you need to go get a nice barber?
Because he used to keeping a cut. He used to being that dude.
Because hoes. There's really no other answer.
Try to avoid.
There's really no other answer. Come
saying on. It.
It's because of hoes. And I think that's why he's going to be a good NBA prospect. Man, I peeped this whole control, man.
He might not have no baby mamas.
Yeah, he probably don't have none, you know. He probably just trying to, he probably wraps it up and everything. He ain't gonna be the next Paul George. So, did you hear about this Ray Rice news?
Yeah, I seem to recall a story or two about a man saving a woman's life trapped in the elevator.
Yeah, apparently his fiance passed out in the elevator and he carried her to safety. And he got caught on camera carrying her to safety, and for some reason everybody was upset with him
now
for something.
Is Chris Christie gonna give him the key to the city up there in New Jersey?
I would hope so.
You saving women and
yeah, elevators. Getting them out of the elevator and making sure everybody's okay in Atlantic City. But apparently, man, at least that's what I gathered from the video, you know. Cause I just, you know, I only saw the video.
Yeah, that's what I saw too. That's what it looked like to me. Mm-hmm. From the eye test.
But, apparently that's not what the news is saying. They, you know, innocent until proven guilty. Everybody knows that.
They always want Baltimore to be like the Wire, man. They just want to, anybody from Baltimore, that's how they want to treat
you. Gotta be a crime.
Like you Snoop or Chris.
If this is a white man, what would they be saying? Hmm? Think about it. Did anybody think about that, brother? Major developments in the Ray Rice investigation are unfolding. Prosecutors are now reviewing the case, including explosive video. Mike Helgren has more on the shocking images. For Ray Rice's fiance, the summons says she struck him with her hand. For Rice, it says he struck her so hard it rendered her unconscious.
Now, she's saying this, or that's what other people are saying?
Well, I don't know. Can she even remember? I mean, it sounds like he hit her so hard she was knocked out. Like, you know, if you've ever passed out or been knocked out or concussed, like, it's hard to remember what happened. So, I mean, now, it's kind of some problems for him. I mean, obviously, there's this video of him pulling a passed out woman out of an elevator. And let me tell you what I noticed about this video. Okay, on some real shit. That had to be the most unloving way to carry your passed out fiance anywhere. Like, that shit like he was trying to put a body in a row house, dude. Like, he was just dragging her on the floor in her little dress. Like the little shit I was thinking about was like, she probably got pretty that day, like put on her dress. She's gonna go out and drink and hang out with her boo at the club, you know, like she looked like one of those like cute party girls, you know. I know she that's like the mother of his kid, I believe, but like, you know, where she just had that look about her, like those cute women that look forward to going out to the club and telling men they don't want their drinks and shit, you know.
She didn't look like she was a small woman though.
Well, like, no.
She look, and if you ever tried to carry somebody or pick them up when they unconscious and they're dead weight.
Well, here's the thing. Ray Rice is kind of small for an NFL player.
Right.
He ain't that big. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, she didn't look small, but I think it's because on the camera, like, we looking at a 5'10 Ray Rice try to, like, carry this chick. And the thing is, man, like, he probably could out, like, minimum, you have to put her on your shoulder, right?
Yep.
Minimum, you have to put her over your shoulder and carry off. If you really want to be on some, like, Kevin Costner in The Bodyguard, you can do that. Carry your bride across the threshold. This nigga was dragging her like a dead body.
I'm gonna be honest. Can I?
Yeah.
When he threw her down, well, excuse me, he didn't throw her. He let her fall face first.
Face first.
I was like, fuck. He mad as hell. He is pissed off right now.
Dude, the low key, cause it's, you know, I think it's fucked up, man. But the low key part of the video that is the most like funny, quote unquote, is the part where he's caught and, a dude walks up to him like, hey, what the fuck is going on here? And Ray Rice is like, oh man, you can tell that he's like, oh man, it's nothing. She had a little something to drink, you know, something like that. Like, you can tell that that's what he, like what he said, but then the dude didn't go away.
Yep.
Like, cause then he tried to like Ray Rice tries to get her up and she crumbles down again. And the dude is like, hold on, let me just call the police or something. And you can tell when he said it because Ray Rice put both his hands up like, shit. Like, you know, this nigga gonna, I'm in trouble.
All right. Now, you know, I'm not one to just be randomly saving people, right?
Yeah.
So when I first saw this, I was like, he should have just walked away.
Yeah.
He should have walked away.
Right. Just leave her there, like, on the ground.
You know, like, he should have left her in the elevator and was like, hey, it's a woman passed out in the elevator.
Dude, while
he was gone.
This is so cow. He picks up her shoes. He's trying to move her like luggage. She's laying face down. Some dude comes over in the suit. He's like, hey man, what's going on? Your girl legs wide open in a little skirt, laying in feet still in the elevator. Like, he only got her bare, like her feet and shit could probably get crushed in the elevator. That's when he tries to make her stand up. She falls down again, and that's when the dude, you can tell the dude's like, man, I'm just gonna have to call the police, man, cause this shit looks stupid. And you just see him lean back like, man, shit.
See, I thought it was an employee that walked up.
Maybe
that's what
it
I was thinking, like, and I was like, that's the worst luck for Ray that he gets off on the floor than the employee.
Luck. Now, there's been a lot of shit circulating around this, man. People are saying, like, you know, they supposedly have a pretty volatile relationship anyway. And, they have some issues and stuff anyway. And I guess it just hadn't been reported before. People are saying she spit on him. So a lot of people are trying to say, well, if a woman spit on you, you don't know what you would do and all this shit.
I think I do know what I would
do. Yeah, I think I do. I'm an adult. I'm an adult. That's all I'm going to say.
I think I do know what I would do. I'm going to walk away. I can't believe you did that shit. And then I'm going to go and hopefully go shoot some ball, get that frustration out, maybe hit the gym. You know what I mean?
Yeah, part of being a man is fucking restraint. And it feels like, and maybe it's because it's the internet, maybe it's just because niggas are losers, I don't know, but it feels like people forget that part of being a man, manhood, is I'm not going to lay my hands on the woman I love. And if she starts acting like that, I got to get the fuck out of that situation.
I don't know that the situation even gets to her spitting on me.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if I can't imagine it. I literally cannot imagine a scenario where Karen would do something like that. But let's just say it happens. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine. The other thing I can't imagine is me putting my hands on my wife. Also, I'm like, I'm going to knock you out like a grown ass man. I'm going to hit you and knock you out. Like, I can never be proud of that. You know what I mean? Let alone in public and try to cover it up. fuck?
On an elevator.
Yeah, this nigga dragging around a dead body on the elevator. And motherfuckers are like, sometimes you got to hit a bitch. Man, y'all lost y'all damn mind.
Man, this is the thing. There's no elevator ride that long where it escalates from something had to happen prior to them getting on the elevator. Mm-hmm. And where are those people that saw that? And that's what made me wonder that they dispatched like, hey, listen, whatever floor this elevator stops on, we need somebody on that floor immediately.
Oh, yeah, and it could have been.
Send them, take the steps.
That's
good
point.
We're going to radio ahead. Nope, it's going on step. It's on level 4. You know, he running up. Oh, it stopped on 5. Go to 5.
Yeah. And his lawyer said it was a minor physical incident.
He got a good lawyer.
Yeah, minor.
His lawyer already with the, hey, this is not what you're seeing. We're not going to jump to conclusions.
It was just two hits.
You guys don't know what's going on.
Ray hit her. She hit the floor.
The thing is, she didn't. Evidently, I'm thinking she didn't go to the hospital.
No, she tried, like, one of the things about people that are in abusive relationships or domestic violence and shit is just part of their relationship. A lot of times the women or whoever the abused party is doesn't report it. Like, in this case, both of them refused medical attention and didn't report any injuries. Now, so, I mean, you can tell she's probably going to try to Gabrielle Union this. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, it's my fault. I ran into a doorknob or some shit.
Well, she's not famous, so I don't see her even being in front of the cameras.
Yeah, but the problem for all this shit is there's more video because they were in the club in public. People are saying they have video of them of the actual punch, like the altercation.
So he punched her before the elevator. Like, did he knock her ass into the elevator and he went over here to step? That's what I'm saying.
Like, did he drag her? Were people helping him to drag his woman after he hit her?
That's because like you said, if they, it's just random that time of night, a dude walking around in a suit and being like, well, what's going on? And he not also, you know, inebriated himself.
Well, you know, people tweeted it. Like, hey, Ray Rice in the club. And then an hour later, yo, Ray Rice just hit his girl. Like, people saw this.
But Rick Pitino don't want social media, man.
Yeah, but we're
out here solving crimes.
Yeah, we're out here underachieving.
They're out here solving crimes with social media.
But, yeah, man, I just think that, you know, it's fucking ridiculous. Now people are reporting from the club. They got video of that, so I'm sure that'll be leaking soon. What happened?
Can we give a fantasy tip?
Yeah, go ahead.
Don't pick Ray Rice.
Don't draft Ray Rice.
We saw the decline all during the season, and we couldn't figure it out. Mm-hmm. We was questioning it. Maybe it's coaching. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that.
Yeah.
We see what the issue is now.
He has problems at home, and he can't keep his hands to himself.
Yep. And maybe those games where he wasn't running that well, maybe she didn't make him mad the day before or that morning. The games where he ran for a lot of yards, he went to work pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
He was very productive those Sundays.
And the thing is, dog, the state takes over in a lot of domestic violence cases.
Yep.
So she don't even have to press charges. She don't. She can try to cover it up and everything. And if the state is like, we got video that this shit happened, then he's going to have to deal with it.
It's one of the reasons they charged her as well.
Yeah.
Though she's clearly the victim, right. It's one of the reasons they charged her is to try to attempt to force her to cooperate.
Yeah, I would not put it past them. Of course, the most shocking news out of this whole story, Ray Rice's first name is Ray Mel. Ray Mel Rice.
Isn't that a catfish character?
Black people, why?
What the old catfish, though?
His name was Ray something.
Ramel? It was Ramel, I'm telling you.
Hey, but not Raymel, R-A-Y-M-E-L-L.
Man, he dropped the Y for catfish.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But it was, he stole the dude Ray Rice's name.
The dude that was in love with that. No, I thought it was Framel. Framel.
Oh.
He was in love with that light-skinned dude.
Yeah, I thought it was Ramel.
Yeah, that chip, too. but yeah, man, that was just such, and it sucks, man, to see dudes that try to like justify putting their hands on a woman like that. It says a lot about people.
But let me ask you this though.
Yeah.
Suppose Sharkeesha hit you.
I haven't seen that video. I don't like watching videos of women get hit. Like, it's just not my thing, dude. Like, call me old fashioned Southern gentleman, whatever the fuck it is. If you, a surefire way to make sure I don't see your videos, tell me that a black woman got hit, because I'm not gonna watch that shit.
What's the the female MMA fighter you interviewed?
What is my girl's name?
I cannot
name?
Remember her name.
Alana Hands of Stone, yes. Jones, with her fine ass.
She is fine. Mm-mm-mm. But suppose she get off a good lick in the gut.
No, like, I'll watch that, man.
If she hits you.
If she hit me, then I'm gonna lose.
She say what? You fucking nigga.
She go, then I'm gonna lose. That's what's gonna happen.
Try me.
All you can do is try to cover up, cause that's an ass whooping that's gonna happen.
If she
dude.
Say you don't fight back, you gonna make it worse.
Then I'm gonna have to take it, dog. Like that's the thing, man. Like, I'm not that dude that is waiting for an excuse to hit a woman. Like, I know that's a lot of dudes, apparently, man.
I know she was attacked. Like, some dudes randomly tried to attack her. I couldn't figure out why.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she too fine to be trying to attack.
Yeah, she's fine. I mean, she follow me on Twitter, man. We be talking.
I'm gonna tell you, it's one woman that I would have to fight back on.
Who?
And her name is Kim.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the same middle school together.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen her fight several dudes that did not fight back. And they should have fought. They should have went ahead and fought back. She was biting, throwing blows.
My cousin
trying to kick in the balls.
When I was in fourth grade, my cousin let his sixth grade girlfriend beat me up. And I was like, this nigga, really? You gonna let your girlfriend beat me up?
I imagine Kim still out here whooping ass out here in these streets in Charlotte. She jumped on the teacher, dog.
Yeah.
The teacher got fired because he tried to restrain her off of him. Because that's how bad she was. She fucked his face up, bro.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, like, black eyes, scratched his face up. He got fired.
I just can't imagine being in that situation, honestly, man. And then more importantly, like, I understand that dudes run into this, like, can I think of the one scenario where it'd be okay to beat a woman up? I just don't have it in me. Like, it's not a wish of mine that I'm secretly harboring. And I think a lot of dudes harbor that for some reason. But, like, I'm thinking of the actual, like, physicality of fighting somebody. I don't want to fight a woman. Like, I can't see myself doing that shit. And I also can't see myself being around women that want to fight. You know what I mean? Like, I don't kick it in those circles with a whole bunch of like roughneck chicks or chicks that are like, even the other kind of chicks that like, they don't want to fight, but they want to do all that shit to escalate a fight. And I know people know that what I'm talking about. They're like basketball wise type chicks where it's like, you can't go nowhere with them because they might throw a drink in somebody's face, or they gonna like you with them, but then like a dude try to holler at them and they can't be like polite and be like, come on with my man. They like, this nigga, Roderick, can you believe this nigga put his hands on me, or whatever it is to make you like had to come over there and fight. Like, I don't hang out with those people.
I don't listen, man. Kim was like Baby D from Friday, the second Friday, the one that had all the snack cakes. Like, I remember her saying, I want to listen to your Walkman. And I remember thinking, fuck, here you go. Can I please have it back? Right. You know what I'm saying? Please. They put her in the seat with me, assigned seats. Worst days of my life, because at any moment you never know if she was gonna pop off or not. Her, if I seen her now, depending on how she is, if I was just randomly running to her, I might would have to go ahead and fight her back to defend myself.
Yeah,
because otherwise she trying to knock me out, and I don't want to get knocked out. Right. Like even at my age, you might say any excuse to fight a woman, but I don't know about getting knocked out either. It's not a situation where I can leave.
But it's not just, okay, man. It's not going to happen. So I'm not worried about it. But I'm just saying, like, it's funny to me because I think dudes really want to have that conversation for some reason. But it's like, to me, it's a pointless conversation. Like, that should have probably never happened to me for my whole life, that I'll have to be in a situation for the rest of my life where a woman is attacking me and I can't get out of it unless I knock her out. Also, this was not that situation. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. Like, we'll talk about, like, domestic violence, and then niggas try to frame it like, but what if a woman, right, she got a gun, right, and she got a knife to your nuts, and then, like, she also got your kids held hostage in the basement, and she said, the only way out of this is you got to hit me one time, and then I'll stop everything. Now, what about then, Rob? I mean, would you hit her then?
That's a plausible scenario.
Right, exactly. Like, it's got to be something. I'm like, but we just talking about a nigga didn't like what she was saying and beat her ass.
You think she was twerking too hard in the club?
Man, who knows, dude? Like, that on some real shit, man. And I, you know, this is controversial, but, you know, only premium people hear this anyway. I don't know. I don't trust couples that go to the club. Like, y'all grown. Like, you gotta stay your ass about the club, man. Like, nothing good happens there. You know, like, the club is where problems happen, dog. You drunk, other niggas are drunk that are irresponsible and don't give a fuck about your relationship. And 9 times out of 10, something will happen to make you have drama that you did not want for that night.
Yep.
He did not leave the house thinking, I'm gonna knock my girl out in public. Like, even abusive people do not think to themselves, I would love to ruin my career tonight. Like, something happened in the club and shit went way left.
Nah. Wasn't Ray due for a contract too?
Dog, I don't know what the deal is. But that's gonna you think you're gonna get cut?
Man, this gonna take all what little money he got. Man, they let Ed Reed go.
Cause, like, is he good enough? Cause, like, people were saying, well, good players get suspended, bad players get cut. I was like, is he,
man, they let
are we sure that Ray Rice is good?
They let Hall of Fame Ed Reed go.
Yeah. Yeah.
They let Anquan Boldin go.
Yep. Yep.
You gone, bro. He gone.
Like, I can't, they have a backup already. Yeah. Bernard Pierce.
Yeah, he gone, man. He gone.
They cost way less.
He can go to Detroit. He can go to San Francisco, and I'm sure he can go to the Jets.
We broke his stats down on this show. Like, we went game by game, and I was telling you, this nigga is trash. It's a wrap. Now, look, you don't have to agree with my assessment, but the fact that it's debatable makes him cut worthy, dog. I would cut the shit out of that dude.
They let Anquan Boldin go when he wasn't cut worthy.
Right.
Ray gone.
All right, Ray, man.
Sugar Ray.
Not Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray.
Knocking women out in the fucking club, man.
Sugar Ray Rice.
And shame on these dudes for trying to defend it, dude. Like, what? Like, I just want to know who's proud of that. Cause, like, dudes were actually on some, like, man, so you telling me a woman spit on you, you ain't gonna just, like, in the heat of the moment knock her out? I was like, in the heat of the moment, like, Trayvon? Like, Jordan Davis? Huh, black man?
Hey, you know, all jokes aside, though, how much money do you spend on her lawyer?
Dude.
Cause you have, do you go
first,
cheap?
First of all, it's like this.
Cause you got,
this relationship is either over and you cut and you might be going to jail, or y'all getting married. That's it. She's already your fiance. She already have your kid. You either got to give her half and hope it goes away, or you got to go to court, man. Like, you, one of these things, you either got to go, baby, listen, I'm sorry I hit you, and it's embarrassing, but you know what? I bought you this ring that's more expensive than Kobe Bryant's ring that he got Vanessa.
He can't afford that in the lawyers.
He gonna have to.
He on NFL money. And that's what I'm saying. How much do you spend on her lawyer? Because if you go cheap with her lawyer, you're gonna find yourself in a situation. If you spend money on a good lawyer for her, that's an ass load of money.
If she's smart, she not accepting no lawyer.
She got to take his
if she,
lawyer.
If she's smart, she going to be like, so wait, why are you trying to give me a lawyer? So you get off for domestic violence. Nigga, I'm not in trouble. I got that charge for you. They told me I could get the charges dropped today. All I got to do is make a phone call. Uh-oh, don't you flinch it up for, Ray. Back up, stay over there. Stay over there. Going into part two.
Harlem Nights all over again. Dude. You going to shoot me in my pinky toe?
Mm-hmm. Dude, he's in trouble, man. Like, on some real shit, man. I don't know what kind of woman she is, but if she just wanted to be like, hey, marry me or face these charges, because I will testify, he would have to marry. He would have to at least consider it.
Man, either way, he still got to get her lawyer just to keep the DA off her for not cooperating.
Yeah, I'm just saying she don't have to accept it.
She don't got to accept it.
But. Yeah, like he's over a barrel, dude. He fucked up. Like she can literally just be like, he could be like, I talked to the people and, you know, I got your attorney. He should be meeting with you, tomorrow. So, I know you don't have much to do tomorrow and, your eye should be healed up a little bit more by then. So, you know, maybe we can go meet with him tomorrow. Huh? I don't need a lawyer, right?
I can't wait till TMZ interview her family.
Ooh.
That's what I can't wait. And if Ray been an asshole to the family, fuck them, this my money type of asshole. Like, fuck them. Like, no, they can't come to our house.
Yeah, everybody getting new cars this week. Everybody. Hey, I just calling, you know, did you get that $500 gift card I sent you for Best Buy? Oh, no. Just thank you for being a good friend.
Supporting us during this time. Know,
keeping your mouth shut.
I know we ain't always been as close as I wanted us to be.
Right. But I appreciate you, you know, not talking, keeping everything between us.
It's a long season, so I had been to come around like I planned on, but things gonna be different now.
Yeah. But, dog, he's in trouble, man. I would not be surprised if, dude ends up, off the team.
He's not gonna get that Charlie Sheen treatment.
Nah, he not that dude.
He not gonna get that Charlie Sheen, I'm beating bitches up in the hotel, treatment where he just maybe need to check himself in.
Yeah. And, like, I'm sure more shit will come out because the blogs and TMZ and shit got a hold of it.
One more thing before you switch to. Yeah. Word of advice, handle this shit like Tiger Woods next time. Yeah. This woman had a golf club and he took that ass whip.
Dude, you cannot. First of all, that was his wife. And she got half anyway, right?
Right. But if
he would have hit her, it would have been worse.
He took that ass whipping. And she had a golf club. Y'all worried about some spit?
On some real shit, dog. Ray Rice lucky she not white. Don't nobody want to talk about that. On some real shit.
Oh man, but y'all steady out here making it in sports and getting these women of opposite races.
On some real shit, bruh.
No disrespect.
If that would have been RG3, he put his hands on that white woman.
Pick up the phone, Robert.
Nigga, we might be talking about, is he out the league?
Pick up the phone, Robert.
Yeah. We will be talking about, is he cut from his team?
Call Warren Moon.
Yeah.
Somebody.
Is this a distraction? Oh, it's a goddamn distraction. You hit that white girl. Your ass is done around these parts. You can go to the CBL. You can go overseas.
Nope, he can't go there either.
But what you can't do is be hitting these white women and coming to work like nothing happened. Oh, man.
You want to see fans. You want to see fans your workplace.
Yeah, you talking about lucky she wasn't famous. Lucky she wasn't white. if she was white, she would be famous. I don't even know what the fuck Tiger Woods' wife did, and I know her full name. That bitch was white. That's like, Ellen Nordegren, the white woman that got cheated on.
Hey, she didn't get no type of charges.
No charges.
She caused Tiger Woods to smash up the Jeep, damage other people's houses.
Ruin his career. And no charges have ever been found.
She assaulted him with a golf club.
You know, the police showed up and was like, are you okay, sir? He's like, I'm all right. Just don't tell anybody what happened.
She put headshots with that
sir,
golf club.
Sir, it looks like you've been a victim of domestic violence. And there's blood on this golf club. And we can test it for fingerprints and see if your wife. That won't be necessary. Please. Just let me lay here. Just no hospital, please. No hospital.
Damn it, Ray.
Ray, dog.
And I defended you half of the season, man.
Yeah, man. He was terrible, dude. This explains everything. This nigga was out here beating this girl and shit. The thing is, too, like, once you hit a woman in public, you're a woman hitter. Like, he can't pull the, oh, that was the first time or, you know, the only time we ever had a problem. Nobody gonna believe you. You might be telling the truth, but you hit a woman in public. Nobody wanna hear that shit because we assuming it was a whole lot of hits in private that led to you being like, I can uppercut your ass in front of these people.
Then can you imagine how I'm assuming, I have to assume he was upset. That's assuming. Yeah. He might not even been upset and he hit her with the one hit a quarter.
Dude, he did it in front of people. Like, of course this is okay.
Like, he might then, not even been upset. Man.
And like, this is the thing, cause you brought it up earlier. We had the elevator video. There's so much that had to happen before he got to the elevator. Like, he had to hit her, grab her, probably get behind her, grab her by both armpits, drag her to an elevator. Cause it probably was the club inside, you know, in the casinos, they had a club in the hotel. He probably had to drag her ass to the elevator, hit the hotel button with all kinds of people being like, sir, is everything okay? You need help? Sir, is everything? Wait on the elevator.
Yep.
Probably just sitting there holding her. Everybody stopping security. Should we get security? Should we call the police? Get up to the whatever floor that suite is on. Try to drag, this time try to open the door, drag her through, get her shoes fell off, and he was dragging her face first because I think he was still mad. You know?
I think he got mad on the elevator, the fact he had to hit her in public.
Nigga looking like Native Son, trying to damn carry this corpse, and then end up fucking getting busted by a dude in a suit, and like you said, probably security for the hotel. Probably like get him, he's on the 7th floor, hurry up. And now his career is all fucked up. Why? Because he couldn't control himself in the moment. Like, if me personally, man, if like say a woman did something like spit on me or threw a drink on me, I would love to just say to that woman, cancel that bitch, and then walk away like Nino Brown. Like, I don't want to actually get into an altercation, man. Like, I don't want to go to jail. I want to call my dad. Dad, can you bail me out? What happened? Karen spit on me. Oh, what? yeah, she spit on me. Wow. So
man,
then what
imagine
happened?
Your dad telling a joke and leaving your ass in there.
Like, wait, but why are you in jail, though? oh, because I uppercut her. Yeah, knocked her ass out. You ain't been watching the news? Yeah, I dragged her body from the 1st floor to the 7th. Yeah, got caught coming off the elevator. Mm-hmm. Hello? Hello?
And they're recording this phone call. So everything you just said is admissible.
Yeah, dog. Yeah, somebody said, Joe Spacey said, received is a good question. DB said, who will be received better? Ray Rice after suspension or at some anger management classes or Michael Vick? Nigga, Ray Rice.
Yeah.
Don't nobody care about women.
And she a black woman.
Yeah. And she black. Don't nobody give a fuck about this shit. Vick nobody gonna care in a week.
Vick kill dogs, man.
Yeah.
Have you seen how white people care about their pets?
The next time we hear about this will be his court date for the first, like, hearing. Then we won't hear about this shit until, like, maybe the start of NFL season. And they'll talk about issues going into the Ravens camp. If he gets cut, we'll hear about it. If he does not get cut, we won't hear shit about it. And then it'll become something in the distance where he has to go to court every once in a while during the season or something. And that's when it'll come up. But, it ain't gonna be like, PETA, dog. It's not, no women from domestic violence shelters are gonna be picketing outside of Baltimore Stadium. Feminists ain't gonna give a fuck, cause this ain't something you can just put a think piece or a blog about. And it's expected. Like, no, and she black. Nobody gonna care.
But you know the key thing right here that's gonna really piss you off? Is the few people that are gonna rally behind her, the minute she go back to his house and say, I forgive him, just like Rihanna did Chris Brown,
mm-hmm.
they gonna be like, fuck her.
Yep, so it's a wrap, dog. It's a wrap. It's gonna be complicated. Fred Davis has been suspended indefinitely from the Washington Redskins and the NFL.
They doing something right, huh?
You don't like Fred Davis?
He all right, but I know what he's suspended for, so therefore it's like about time you guys just follow the rules, man.
Now that you got Jordan Reed, y'all Redskins fans don't give a fuck about Fred Davis. I noticed that was smooth. he became crazy last year. Before that, it was like Fred Davis pretty good, man. I think he might have a future.
Hall of Famer.
Jordan Reed had that couple hundred yard games. It was like, man, fuck Fred Davis, man. He crazy. He be out in the club all the time. Y'all was snitching on him. He be out in the club.
Hey, man, you got to follow the rules, man. Curfew.
Well, he was on some substance abuse policy.
It wasn't Adderall, though, was it?
It was previously reported they failed a drug test after testing positive for marijuana.
Is that all?
You in here for some weed?
Yeah, D.C., man. He growing in his backyard.
What? Boo this man. I suck dick for coke. You ever suck dick for weed?
It really is marijuana. That's really what he
is. Marijuana, dude.
I just knew he failed the substance abuse. I didn't know it. So
in January, he failed a drug test after testing positive for marijuana and was facing a 6-game suspension. He was previously suspended for the final four games of 2011 for violating the league's drug policy.
Man, they tired of him falling asleep during the game, man.
He's set to become a free agent March 11th, and this does not bode well for his chances of finding a new team. He missed 6 games during 2013 season with an ankle injury and finished with just 10 catches for 70 yards.
Oh, he'll be at Denver Broncos. He'll be in Denver.
It continued a disappointing trend for Davis since his breakout. Yeah, Seattle need tight end.
He'll be in Denver or Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle need tight end. They could do some work. Disappointing trend for Davis since his breakout season 2011. We had 796 yards in 12 games before sitting with that previously mentioned suspension. Redskins gave Davis the franchise tag in 2012. Ooh. Damn, Dan Snyder. He played 7 games, 325 yards for tearing his Achilles and missing the rest of the season. So, yep, Fred Davis is gone.
Man, that weed was to ease the pain.
Mm-hmm. That's why NFL players are talking about they need it, you know? Remember last week, all them players was like, we want to smoke some weed, Roger Goodell.
Denver, man, you better go to Denver. We know they smoke weed in Seattle. Like, we know this. They had like 6 players this year suspended from smoking marijuana?
Yeah.
Like, Pete Carroll, man, they had so much fun in Seattle, man. Go to Seattle.
I was going to read this list of the most controversial prospects in the NFL draft, but I just realized it's by Nolan Naraki. And that's that dude that wrote that Cam Newton piece about not liking Cam Smile.
Yeah, don't.
Fuck him. You don't get no play on our show. Also, his list didn't have Michael Sam on it, so that's good. I saw ESPN this morning, man, and they were talking about the combine. And, of course, Johnny Manziel is a big story because he's short, but he got big hands and shit like that. But what I noticed was they brought up Michael Sam saying that the combine was going to mean a lot for him. I was like, why?
Yeah, why would it?
Because, I mean,
it's not draft day.
Yeah, and I mean, unless you're assuming that he's not as good as previously reported, and the only reason you would be assuming that is because he's gay. Like, what'd you think? The gay going to slow him down on his 40? He not going to be able to bench as much because he gay? Like, I don't really understand what the point was.
Remember I asked you one time before, like, if somebody was gay in the NBA, you think their stats would be different. Like, it's Like, it's one of the things, like, that it's not. So why, what's the big deal?
Yeah, he been gay all this time, y'all. Like, I don't get why, cause they were, and they were like, and the media portion is going to be really important. How? What are they going to say, like, that is going to throw him off from being drafted high or not high? You know what I mean? Like, what could he possibly ask? Well, you know what I like to do is look at a lot of dicks in the locker room. When I take my shower, you know, just one piece of soap slowly over the same portion of my body for hours at a time as men enter the locker room and walk out. That's,
is that what motivates you to perform so well down the field?
Yeah. You know what I like to do? My hardest problem is when I tackle somebody, I can't keep my dick from getting hard. Yeah, man, I'm gay. You know, I be getting real gay on the field, and it's pretty gay, guys. So sorry, you know, but hopefully this doesn't move me down the draft, because, you know, I just turned gay yesterday.
I'm getting an erection during this interview.
Yeah.
You should have got a woman to interview me. A
lot of handsome men's in here. No, like, what do they think? He gonna show up with, like, tights on and, you know,
yeah. Have a bunch of makeup. Eyelashes are gonna be did up.
Yeah, he gonna be wearing, like, a boa and shit, a feather boa.
And even if he did, though, I mean, Clint Portis did it. What's the problem?
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck are y'all talking about. Like, when I saw that this morning, it's like, yeah, it's gonna be a very tough day for him. I was like, why?
Like, it would have never surprised me if Clint Portis came out and said it was gay. He wore dresses during several of his post-game interviews.
Yeah. You know, he was kind of slow coming out of the 40 time because he was too busy juggling some man's balls. And, he ran a 6.340. He couldn't help himself. So,
you know,
that's going to knock him down a little bit.
The other thing with the combine and all these people saying, well, Manziel's not going to be that good. I'm confused. How do you win the Heisman and be the best college player there is? But that means you're not going to be good in the NFL. And that's always confused me. Like,
yeah, I don't know why those skills don't translate over. And it happens a lot. Like, a lot of times they're right. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't translate one-to-one. You know what I mean? Like, for example, Reggie Bush, who was a tremendous – well, actually, he didn't win the Heisman.
they took his back.
Take that back.
But I'm saying
– but, I mean, theoretically, Reggie Bush – when I remember watching football that year, like, this nigga is insane. And you know what I mean? I was like, when he get to the NFL, he's about to break all of the records. Cause he was just, anytime he touched the ball, he was doing something sick. And,
he didn't translate to the NFL. He had a good system. He had a good coach. Because his coach was Pete Carroll.
But you can say the same thing about, Manziel, right? Like, maybe they just think he got a good system or some shit, and it's not really going to work in the NFL. It might work, but it might not.
I guess what I'm saying is when he was with the Saints, when Bush was with the Saints, he was putting up good numbers, and he was good. He can't be your feature back.
But they weren't Heisman. Like, that Heisman shit, dude, like, he was just making everyone look silly. Like, he looked like if he touched the ball – a touchdown or something spectacular was going to happen. In the NFL, it wasn't the same, man. Like, you know, like, it felt like he, I don't know.
They tried to run him like a big back, though. And I think that's the thing about in the college, Pete Carroll said, I'm not going to run him up the middle. He's not a run up the middle back. Like they used him when he was with the Saints. They would throw little passes, little screen passes, things like that to him.
Yeah, I agree.
And I guess that's what I'm saying. That, or is the selection process for this Heisman Trophy system flawed? And do I question that? Like, he a Heisman Trophy winner, so fucking what?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just know I agree with you. I don't get it either. I don't know why it's that way, but it is that way, though. Like, the Heisman don't really mean shit.
But they act like it's a super club. Like,
it means shit in college, but, like, Tim Tebow won the Heisman. You know, like, it just don't, like, it's just, it don't mean shit.
Y'all need to fix that Heisman Trophy committee. Yeah. Y'all need to check that.
I guess it's not, so, I mean, technically it's for the best college player, not the best pro prospect.
Well,
right?
Manziel would have won it again this year if our boy out of Florida and God didn't intervene.
Jameis.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But, like, next year I bet Jameis won't even win it. It'll be some other motherfucker. You know what I mean? Just, and then we'll be like, well, does that mean that Jameis is the best pro prospect? Fuck yeah, he is. Jamin said he want to stay 3 years, by the way.
Why stay three? That's such a random number. Yeah,
that's some shit you can say.
Two or four, like pick one.
That's some shit you can say today. See what happened at the end of that next season.
He's saying
season.
That just to, you know, to keep the boosters, keep that money
right.
coming in.
Right.
keep that booster money paying for mama house. Do what you got to do. I ain't mad at
so
you.
So they won't call you a piece of crap.
Yeah, I ain't mad at you. All of a sudden, charges start showing up again.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that was part of his deal? Like, yeah. You got to stay one more year or these charges going to pop back up?
Man, have you heard about Kevin Durant and his nickname?
Slim Reaper?
That is the best nickname Durantula? In the game. I don't like the Durantula. But I do like Kevin Durant, Slim Reaper.
Yeah, that nickname, right? That's the one you're talking about?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, obviously he
because he got the serving fool's death.
He's a skinny dude, you know. So you got that going, but he seems to be a little self conscious about how skinny he is, and it's causing him to say stupid shit.
Goddellish. He out there killing him.
he had an interview the other day where he said that he doesn't like. The name Slim Reaper. And I think he doesn't like it basically because it makes him, because he's skinny. Mm. And I think he's ashamed of the fact that he's skinny.
But see, Slim is the proper term. Like, if they'd call him the Skinny Reaper.
Right.
Then you could be like, nah, you're being disrespectful. Slim is the proper term.
Yeah, if they call him the Skin Reaper or some shit. Like, yeah, but Slim is a cool name. It's almost like a pimp. You know? Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, just. Slim, like, you know, oh, that's Slim over there. Like, that's yep. a cool nickname, but, he don't like it. And I wasn't gonna play the video, but, he said that he would rather be called the Servant, which is probably the worst possible nickname he could pick.
Is marijuana legal in, Oklahoma?
I don't know if it's legal, but he's probably smoking
he's
it.
He's smoking something, bro. The Servant.
The Servant. As a black man in 2014.
Nicknames have been pertinent to Kevin Durant during this scoring binge. Says he doesn't like the Slim Reaper. He does like KD. But he awarded himself a nickname, calling himself the Servant.
You can call me the Servant.
The Servant?
Yeah.
What is that?
The Servant. Just like to serve everybody. My teammates, ushers at the game, fans.
Servant. Interesting. That would make
I want to make sure I heard that correctly. It was a little static.
Okay, I can run it back for you.
Did he say he wants to serve the ushers?
At the game.
At the game. Not practice, servant. But at the game.
Okay. You can call me the Servant.
The Servant?
Yeah.
What is that?
I'm a servant. Just like the servant.
First of all, it's never good when someone asks you about your nickname. You tell them your nickname. And their next thing is, what is that?
He is oh so serious. He's no, that was no hesitation when he answered that question. He looked sad, but no hesitation.
Servant.
The servant?
Yeah.
What is that?
I'm a servant. Just like to serve everybody, my teammates, ushers at the game, fans.
The servant. Everybody. Interesting. That would make a good post.
I thought of that last night.
Jalen was trying to get Iceberg Slim going.
And the next question there should be, hey, you didn't run that by anybody, did you?
You notice he skipped that topic and went to what Jalen was like, Iceberg Slim?
Yeah.
Another cool ass nickname.
Another cool nickname.
And
cooler
Slim.
Than a servant. Trying to help you out here.
You can't give yourself a nickname. In the history of nicknames, no one has ever given themselves a nickname and it's been cool.
And Bill Simmons even says that would be a cool poster. No, it wouldn't.
Right,
the
poster.
The servant.
Poster, he didn't say name.
Yeah, not name, but even though it wouldn't be a cool poster either. I'm not letting my black kid hang up no fucking servant poster.
Why didn't Bill tell him to go fix him something to drink real quick?
Yeah, hey, why don't you serve me one of these drinks then? Yeah, boy, he should have said that. That would have ended this interview and that stupid ass nickname.
Right.
If Bill Simmons would have said, oh, you want to be the servant? Go fix me something to drink, boy.
And you know what? And at that moment, Simmons would have got some respect back there as a commentator.
Yeah, and then Kevin Durant would have been like, you're right, Slim Reaper it is.
Ushers at the game, fans.
Serve it. Interesting. That would make a good post.
I thought of that last night.
Jalen was trying to get Iceberg Slim going for you. Yeah. It doesn't work, right? Yeah. He's been trying on TV.
Yeah, he's been trying. I mean, that's clever. That's clever, but I like the servant. I know it's kind of weird to make your own nicknames up, but I like that one better.
Yeah, it's very weird. It's also not cool.
It's stupid.
Only one person has ever made up their own nickname and it stuck, and that's Kobe Bryant, the Black Mamba. Everybody else, you got to let somebody else give you a nickname.
I thought somebody else gave Kobe that.
Nah. Kobe said, I'm going to be the Black Mamba. And everybody said, okay.
Yeah, but did somebody give it to him like they was discussing it?
I don't think so, man. I think he watched this documentary.
Like his wife was like, you know, you're a cold-blooded snake in the grass. And he was like, you're right. I'm the Black Mamba. And went from there.
Why is Kobe Bryant's nickname the Black Mamba? According to Yahoo Answers, we know that's always right. I read from Wiki that Kobe's nickname is Black Mamba, a female Marvel heroine. Why is he called this and who gave it to him? Oh, somebody thinks he's a Marvel superhero. Actually, a Black Mamba is the largest venomous snake in Africa and can be male or female. Claiming that the Black Mamba implies female is about as silly as claiming a cobra or a horse or a goat is only one gender. Apparently, that was also the nickname for the boxer Roger Mayweather, Floyd's uncle. Kobe gave himself the nickname. And before the anti-Kobe patrol runs in to jump on that, how many nicknames has Shaq given himself over the years? Thank you. So, yeah, he gave it to himself. Nice. And that stuck. Why? Because he's Kobe Bryant. He can do that. Tell you another guy who can do what the fuck he wants to do. Roger Goodell pays himself in 2012$44.2 million.
Nice.
Nigga.
I always wonder how much these commissioners was making out here in these streets.
Nigga. 44.2? It makes him among the best paid executives in the country. Perhaps the highest paid leader of a non-profit organization. That's right. The NFL is filed as a non-profit organization. Nigga, I can't even make the blackouttips.com a non-profit.
Non-profit organization?
Non-profit, dude.
Yeah. White people stay winning.
Dude, white people are diabolical.
Again, man, it's white privilege, y'all. Y'all just don't, to be white for a week.
To even think of this shit, you gotta be evil. You can't even think of some shit like this with a good heart. How can I turn a billion-dollar corporation into a non-profit that doesn't help anybody? We just gonna call it the non-profit, dog.
Oh my god, man, they stay winning. 44 million. That's 2012. You know it's increased since then.
$44.2 million, man. Like, what does your life feel like, man?
I wonder if that's all the fine money.
I don't know, bro.
Like, he get his salary from fine money.
Yeah, he's like, that's why he was finding niggas so hard for a while.
2012 was when Red Harrison was really kicking out that money.
Yeah. Goodell's pay is a silver lining of a roughly $10 billion that the league generates annually. It exceeds the amount paid at far larger businesses and highlights the tax-exempt status that the league's head office, though not its teams, has had for decades. In 1966, the NFL agreed to merge. Who cares about the history? This nigga makes so much money, dog.
They sell hats, gloves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not just team stuff, but just regular, it says just NFL on it.
The chief executive of the American Petroleum Institute makes $5.6 million. Roger Goodell makes $44.2 million.
He might want to renegotiate his contract, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Goodell's pay was large when stacked against executives' pay for profit businesses as well. According to Equilar, a compensation research company, the median salary for chief executives at companies listed at the Standard & Poor's 500 stock index was $9.7 million, less than one quarter of what Goodell was paid in 2012.
Next time you guys want to say something bad about Goodell, he's smart enough to get that money.
And he's been good. He earned that raise.
I don't care what you say. He getting that money.
Well, he earned it. I mean, that CBA that they signed made NFL teams so much money because it strapped up and coming young players into a salary cap and into a salary structure that would limit how much they can make for the rest of their lives. You know, it stopped holdouts pretty much of anybody under contract. So he made this money. He settled the concussion lawsuit for $765 million. People were thinking that was going to be billions of dollars.
Yeah, he settled it for bubblegum money.
Yeah. They make $10 billion every year. And that should, you know, so yeah, he's a beast, man.
And he steady had games over there in Europe.
Yep. And this is the 2012 salary, by the way.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. We know that's going up.
Yep.
It's at 45 right now.
Yep.
Maybe even 50.
So, yep. Good job, Roger. We got an email.
How would Stern make less or more than?
Howard Stern?
I mean, not Howard Stern, but...
David Stern?
Yeah, David Stern.
I don't know. Bud Selig, it says, without his one-time deferred bonus and pension play of it from 2011, Goodell's compensation was $35.1 million in 2012, about as much as the compensation as Bud Selig. So, I don't know. It doesn't say Stern.
I've never been able to find Stern, how much Stern made, man.
Let's see. Gary Bettman made $8.3 million. David Stern made $23 million.
That's all?
Just nigga, hey.
I'm shocked it went more than that.
Roger Goodell, a beast, bro. We got an email from Jazz Madison.
Nice.
Like Balls that. D Sports, no disrespect. Hello, Rod and Karen and Justin. If you write Balls D Sports, you should probably just write Rod and Justin. Karen's only on here every once in a while. This is Jazz from New Orleans, and I just wanted to say that the latest episode of Balls Deep Sports was the best episode ever. I'm a firm supporter of Justin's belief that the show should run as long as possible.
Normally, that's what I'm talking about, Jazz.
Normally, it seems that as soon as you guys get on the road, I'm blindsided by the smooth tones of Kanye West's Hey Mama, and the show is over. I normally listen to the show Monday at work. Last week's 3.5-hour episode was just what I needed to pass the day. Rod, I understand the size of these shows present technical and bandwidth issues for you, but I ask that you please keep that format, the 3.5-hour format. All right. It was even cool to hear you guys answer some of the listener questions and responses at the end. That's all I wanted to say. Keep up the good work. P.S. Is there anything that can be done to save the dunk contest during All-Star weekend, or should they just let it die for now? Honestly, man, I didn't like the dunk contest this year. I didn't like that first round. And I know that a lot of people saying they don't mind that shit, but, the teamwork aspect was stupid to me. and making it like East versus West was stupid. And, they needed one more round at the end to do a dunk off. Like the top two people should always have a dunk off to finish the contest. I'm sorry. Then let the people vote.
Yeah, I think that probably to me was the biggest flaw. I didn't mind the group dunks. I thought it was too long though. They didn't need 3 minutes, 2 minutes.
Yeah, it felt like a way for them to be like, how can we get as many dunks as possible in a short time span, and they cut it into clips for SportsCenter.
Yeah, they just need like 3 dunks per team.
Yeah,
you know, like 3 dunks, and then out of those 3, you know, one side wins.
Yeah.
Wins from there. And
you should dunk off until you have 2 people left and then let the people vote on that. Not 3 people. Like, that shit went off so fast. Everybody's like, was that it?
So you're saying, like, out of those 3, then somebody gets cut from each team. And then you have 2 dunks. And out of those 2, somebody gets cut from each team. Then those top 2 go head to head for a dunk off.
Yeah. So that's all they would have needed to fix it. And I don't think they should do away with it ever. This is actually the most star power they've had in a while. Also, who is a bigger bandwagon / success groupie, Drake or Justin Bieber?
Drake.
And because these niggas are everywhere with their trophies being raised. Jazz Madison, New Orleans, L.A. Yeah. Thank you so much, Jazz. Yeah,
thank you, Jazz. I appreciate that. I will say at least Justin Bieber look like he out drinking and having fun. Drake look like he out want to hold somebody's dick.
Dude, he looks so sad. Like, this nigga he's such a sad person. Like, did you see when he was holding that ball? he was waiting for mom to come pick him up. That was such bullshit, man. All right. Richie Incognito deleted his Twitter and then came back. So I guess he couldn't handle getting bullied.
Nah, he can't handle it.
Yeah. Easy to dish it out, hard to take it, man. I guess that's what we learned about a lot of these people, the Twitter fake gangsters, is a lot of these people, they have no problem talking all that shit. But then when they get exposed, now they ain't got nothing to say. So, yeah, he was one of the people that got exposed and he ain't got shit to say, man.
That whole report was interesting, man.
Dude, the shit they did to the Asian dude was worse than the shit they did to Martin. Like, did you hear about that?
I heard they kept fucking with him doing, like, Asian jokes and, you know, just a lot of tacky stuff.
Yeah, the shit they did to the Asian dude, man, they wore, like, Pearl Harbor, they wore Japanese headbands with, like bandanas. With the Japanese flag on them, on Pearl Harbor Day. They kept saying that his mom and grandma did sucky sucky and rubby tuggy massages and like just racist, dumb shit.
That's cold blooded, man.
Remember when this first came out and he's like, I'm not racist?
He kept saying, wait till the truth come out.
Wait till the truth, yeah. Wait till the truth come out. Nigga, whatever. Anyway, yeah, that shit came out, so he deleted his account. Another person being accused of racism. I don't know if you heard about this, but J.J. Redick.
Not J.J.
Yeah, yeah. Los Angeles Clippers sharpshooter J.J. Redick is still feeling the effects of a 2007 document he and his ex-girlfriend Vanessa Lopez signed, in which she said she had decided to have an abortion. J.J. Redick has always said Lopez has never been pregnant with a child fathered by him. If that was the case, why was he so clearly upset at her? Check out these emails JJ wrote to Vanessa Lopez. The emails may or may not be included in a book currently being shot by Lopez. To view the email, click here. Let me view
this now one. I remember him having his women sign those agreements. We thought that was very smart.
Yeah, yeah. We both were like, that exhibits a level of hold control that we didn't know he had. JJ Redick, I like that they put his email out here. jredick4@mac.com.
Oh, you got to change that.
Yeah. Greg, my brother-in-law left her a voicemail calling her a dirty nigger. We've got problems if that stupid spick leaks it. What the fuck can we do? So, JJ Redick.
Damn it, JJ.
Went to Duke. a German biathlete.
Is he married?
I don't know.
Thanks.
I don't know.
I think JJ's, yeah, he's married.
Wow. Well, I'm sure his wife's very proud of him. Hopefully she's not of any Latina descent because she just found out what he really thinks. German biathlete, Italian bobsledder test positive. That's right. Germans over here doping. And she got kicked out of the Sochi Olympics on Friday.
And she should have.
She tested positive for a stimulant called methylhexanamine.
Man, I'm not taking any drug that you can't pronounce.
In both her A and B samples, so she had it in both of them, the committee said she had been removed from the team and sent home. She was the winner of 2 golds and 3 silvers in cross-country skiing at previous games. Blamed the positive test on a nutritional supplement and said she had never knowingly taken performance enhancing drugs. Yeah, nobody ever does, right? Anybody knowingly taking performance enhancing drugs these days? Because everybody don't know. Just saying.
I take them all the time.
Companies now will have to be careful how they congratulate the achievements of athletes with whom they don't have endorsement deals. On Wednesday, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Illinois ruled the Jewel Food Stores did not have the right to publicly congratulate Michael Jordan on his Hall of Fame induction in an ad featured in its logo and the supermarket's motto. The former basketball player sued the supermarket chain
for congratulations
for congratulating him. seeking $5 million in damages after his ad appeared in the commemorative Sports Illustrated issue that hit newsstands in October 2009. Amid the text saluting Jordan, the ad had Jordan's familiar number 23 on a pair of white and red shoes.
What kind of damages?
Jewel has successfully argued in district court that its ad was protected by the First Amendment because it was not commercial in nature, as in there was nothing specific to the supermarket that the supermarket was selling. But the Court of Appeals opinion differed, saying Jewel was using Jordan to boost his brand, and it was therefore a commercial pitch to potential customers. The ad's commercial nature is readily apparent. It may be generic and implicit, but it's nonetheless clear, and the ad is a form of image advertising aimed at promoting goodwill for the Jewel Osco brand by exploiting public affection for Jordan at an auspicious moment in his career. So Jordan said that should be worth about $5 million. I will take that in cash. Put all your little grocery stores out of business. All the black people have to live in food deserts now.
I put a picture of Jordan expression when they was like, Jordan, we want to honor you. Jordan. I put a link in the chat room for y'all.
Jordan face is probably pretty highly upset.
Just want to honor you for all you've done.
He's like, oh man, you know, this is sweet, man. I appreciate this. Here's the thing. That's going to be $5 million. I appreciate you congratulating me. And, that's very, very nice of you. You know, I personally, you know, I'm happy I could make it. I didn't think I was necessarily going to make it. That'll be $5 million. So yeah, I didn't ask you to do that shit.
Such an asshole.
Yeah. What a jerk, man. Yeah, now I'll never catch me congratulating that nigga on this show. Fuck around and take the whole thing. Hey, man, it's cool that the Bobcats got a win, man. I just want to thank Michael. Ooh, whoa.
Take that back.
Hold on. I almost lost $5 million.
He'll let you talk shit about him before he lets you say thank you.
Yeah.
What kind of shit is that?
They could have put an ad out being like, fuck Michael Jordan. It's all about John Stockton.
Right.
Would have been like, that's fine.
They was like, they could have been like, Clyde Drexler was the better draft pick.
This must have been one of those nigger grocery stores, because you know he doesn't take pictures with no niggas. You ever heard that story?
Yep.
No niggas.
He's so serious.
The Nets eyed Jason Collins.
With one eye or with two eyes?
They eyed his dick. The Nets eyed Jason Collins. They're thinking about putting him on the team on a 10-day contract, so that the NBA can be the first one to break the gay barrier. This is real petty. Real, real petty,
I
dog.
I bet you Jason Kidd thought of this.
Yeah. It's like, man, maybe we won't get fired if we have a gay dude on the team. Just saying. We capitalize on some of this PR.
Man, I think their owner would have an issue with it.
The Prokhorov?
Yep.
What is he? Is he Russian?
Yep.
Yeah, he might have an issue.
Yeah, I think he might have
an issue. Nor the homosexuals on our team.
And that's one of the reasons why he was running. He bought the team and went back to Russia. Because
mm-hmm.
He realized his way of doing things don't always necessarily transcend and how they should be done over here, how Americans want things to be done.
Speaking of how Americans want things to be done, Lamar Odom is taking his talents to Spain.
Not South Beach?
Nope. Spain.
Why not just go to South Beach? I mean, he had a house, though. He once played in South Beach.
The 34-year-old has reached an agreement with Laboro Cuxta. Cuxa? What? Sounds like the name for like Latin name for like pussy lips or something. Oh, yeah, we're going to have to make an incision on the Laboro Cuxta for you real quick. But yeah, he signed with the pussy lips over in Spain, and apparently he's going to get a 2-month contract, which should be able to get him high for hours.
You know, I'm not even surprised that he ended up somewhere else, because I've been saying it for years that Lamar Odom just did not have the heart to be a winner and to be a Laker. And you kept saying, "Nah, he's doing good for Lamar Odom."
Y'all have not been the same without him. He was the key.
Right.
That's the only thing I'm saying.
He couldn't accept being the key. I wanted him to be the key.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't accept it.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever you want to say, man. Just, I'm standing on my point. He was the key to that team. Like, and Kobe was the key to him. And if he could have just got back on the same team with Kobe, y'all would have got another championship. Yep. It's sad, man, but it's true. Kobe know how to talk to Lamar. He could have, Kobe could have got Lamar crack.
The Lamar whisperer.
Yeah, he could have got Lamar crack, really. He just didn't want to.
It's Lamar's fault. Lamar didn't want to be off the crack.
I'm saying, Kobe could have showed up at his house, smacked him in the face and said, clean your goddamn self up. You get on that court in the morning. And he would have did him like Scotty did Pookie in New Jack City. He would have had him on that treadmill, sweating, looking at crack real hard, but not smoking it. Now look at him. Injured boxer's family plans a lawsuit. The family of a brain-damaged Russian heavyweight boxer, Magomed Abdusalamov, has filed court documents that state his intent to file a $100 million lawsuit against the state of New York and its athletic commission, alleging negligence and medical malpractice.
A lot of key terms in that I heard that says he's going to get some money.
Abdusalamov, 32, was in a coma for weeks after emergency brain surgery to remove a large blood clot hours after his November 2nd Madison Square Garden bout with Mike Perez. Perez won a unanimous 10-round decision, landed 312 punches.
Damn.
Woo! Damn.
I can't imagine doing anything 312 times.
Dude.
In 10 rounds.
Imagine, man.
Could you imagine getting in 10 rounds doing anything 312 times?
Dude, that's just the ones he landed.
312 French fries, eating 312 chips.
Abdusalamov landed 248 punches. Not bad. He was only about 80 off, something like that, 60 off. Now in a rehabilitation facility, he has shown slight movement and can follow simple commands, but he remains bedridden. He will never walk or talk again.
No disrespect, bro. No disrespect. But you got a block. Damn.
See, the object of the thing is to not get hit. And then you hit them.
Who is this trainer? This trainer's supposed to throw the towel in. Your trainer's supposed to like you as a person. Not just as a business partner.
During a post-fight exam in the dressing room, Abdusalamov, who broke his upper jaw and hand during the fight. Yo, man, this is a setup, man. Like, this dude was already fucked up before he got here. And then they put him in the ring, and then they try to make $1 million, man. Just fucked up.
Yo, man.
His jaw is probably already broken and everything. The doctor said that his head hurt, according to his handlers. What was the first clue? The broken jaw or the 312 punches? They said the doctors gave him a neurological test that required him to read a series of numbers, sutured a cut above his left eye, told him he had a broken nose, and that he should have his injuries looked at by a doctor within a day or two upon returning home to Florida.
What's his name again? Because you saying it. But
Abdusalamov.
I'm trying to figure out how to say, because I'm sure I got to see pictures of him in his face. At the 312 punches.
That what neither commission's doctor nor anyone else realized was that at some point Abdusalamov's brain started bleeding. Damn, the brain was bleeding. Left untreated, the condition would have killed him. So at least he didn't die. Matt Farrago, the state athletic commission inspector assigned to monitor Abdusalamov that night, said that after commission's doctors cleared the fighter and left the dressing room, he noticed blood in Abdusalamov's urine sample, a possible sign of internal bleeding. Farrago, who boxed professionally for 8 years, said he advised Abdusalamov's handlers to take him by taxi to a hospital. A Madison Square Garden source who spoke only under condition of anonymity told Outside the Lines that two ambulances were on site, State boxing regulations require at least one for a fight card, but commission's doctors summoned neither one of them for Abdusalamov. In early November, acting on a request from the Office of the New York Secretary of State, which oversees the Athletic Commission, the State Inspector General launched an investigation of the fight and what happened after it. No date for the inquiry's completion has been announced. State Athletic Commission Chairman Melvina Lathan and Chief Medical Officer Dr. Barry Jordan, both of whom were at ringside, and the other commission doctors on duty that night, and the referee Benji Estevez Jr., have not commented publicly since the probe began and declined outside the lines interview request. That everybody declines that request. Nigga, if outside the lines call here, I'm not answering. Yeah, it's always something bad.
I've never seen them do a good story.
Yeah, they're not gonna call you to be like, hey, can you tell us about that time you saved a kitten? No. It's always gonna be like, so you like raping people? Huh? What? No comment.
I've never even heard of the word rape.
Right. I understand that you once cheated on your taxes. What? Who is this? But yes. What about that girl you gave an STD? Huh? What? We know you're cheating on your wife. Bob, get off the phone.
The conversation was recorded.
The conversation's over. We'll be using this quote.
And they had cameras already in your house. You didn't even know they was in here.
He has a wife and three young daughters. Told Outside the Lines that he soon will file a lawsuit against commission doctors and other parties.
He gonna win too.
Yep. He said the legislation was created. Once you get an Outside the Lines piece, you gonna win. So
he gonna win because nobody stopped that fight in the fifth round when he was getting his ass whooped.
Right. We couldn't have stopped at 300 punches. Even, I mean, he had to get them last 12 in.
Man, 300 punches is a lot. And 10 rounds.
Yeah, man. And he looks pretty bad in this picture, but he doesn't look like he just looks out of it. But you can tell if he's just tired and was resting or what, man. But yeah. Remember how we were talking about people taking pay cuts to stay in Seattle?
Yep.
Sidney Rice took a real big pay cut. As in, he got cut from the team. Because apparently they don't need him. I was wondering what they were going to do about this. I was like, maybe they'll pay him so he can come back and they'll have a healthy dude and they'll just cut the other guys. It looks like they might be keeping Golden Tate, though.
I mean, they cheaper.
Yep. And I mean, they got to the Super Bowl without him, right?
Yeah, because Rice only played like 4 games this season.
Yeah. Now, this might be their first big mistake, I think. Because you can't just think you're going to do exactly what you did last year and make it. You got to improve. But maybe they're planning on improving through the draft. So we'll see.
They got some things lined up. I mean, we already know AJ Green want to come there. Adrian Peterson want to come there.
Yep, we confirmed it. So as that rumor started on this show.
Anybody, any other receivers going to be free agents? Over the summer?
I don't know.
Are they free agents now? Like, it's a lot of cats want to play in Seattle. And especially after you win, just like when LeBron won in Miami, like all of a sudden, everybody wanted to go down there.
Yeah, you're on top of it, man. You're like Adam Schefter.
So,
you got all the sources. So, when this happens, remember where y'all heard it first.
Yeah, now we've neither confirmed nor denied.
Well, we don't want to reveal our sources.
Any of these statements.
Yeah, we don't reveal our sources here at the Balls Deep. Tampa Bay Bucks wide receiver Mike Williams isn't very popular in his community.
Is that Cadillac Williams?
Nah, Mike Williams. He's a wide receiver.
Oh. No, that was Carnell Williams. That was Cadillac.
Yeah.
Name. Okay.
He and a few friends are renting a house in Tampa, Florida, and neighbors say they seem to despise him. And wonder if it's just because he's black. Better watch out. The stay in your ground shit. In the span of June to September last season, the Tampa Bay Times reports there were 5 911 calls, a lawsuit, a possible eviction for Williams' house, which reportedly has a stripper pole in the living room.
Now, they're saying these things like this all negative.
John Hagensicker, a 60-year-old former neighbor, said Williams threw constant parties, described by the article as Gatsby level. There have been 5 911 calls to the property since June, ranging from a kitchen fire to roommate Tyshawn Edwards telling police in the middle of the night he partied too much at a Bucks game and someone may have spiked his drink.
Call 911 for that?
Hagensicker said parties at the house kept him up all night, with stretch limos pulling up and unloading people at 4 a.m. The parties were big enough that cars were parked on the grass, driving over his lawn as they left, leaving tracks and breaking sprinkler heads. He'd see mattresses left on the lawn and wake up to deer eating from a garbage left around the house.
Sounds like he's having a good ass time down there.
Sounds like a pretty nice neighborhood. Deer just come eat the garbage inside of the house.
If I move to Florida, that's the type of time I want to have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have to worry about in Sanford what motherfuckers trying to shoot me.
Yeah.
My music too loud.
Nobody stood their ground against this dude yet? No, I'm glad. I'm surprised.
And that being said, don't go visit Florida people.
Yeah. What are y'all, crazy? You got a death wish? I'd be laying in my bed at night and couldn't sleep. Big boom, boxes blared, and I would shake my head on my pillow. I've never known people so rude and so low class. I was astonished.
Are these guys thugs? So, I feel like he went coming away from calling them thugs.
He wanted to. The NBA trade deadline was mostly bullshit. The big one was Danny Granger traded to the 76ers for Evan Turner and LaVoy Allen.
How you feel about that? Because you've been high on Granger.
I did not. I don't think this is a good trade. I think this is the move that makes sure the Pacers do not beat the Heat in the playoffs.
I thought it was a strange move as well. But maybe they know something we don't about Granger, because he still hadn't been getting a lot of minutes.
I mean, he was coming back. I figured you got to let him get healthy. He would have been a beast off the bench. But,
They know something we don't, man. They have to.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, to me, it seems like a desperate move.
To me, Evan Turner is just not as good as Lance Stevenson. Like, he don't have a real... He has a good, quote-unquote, skill set, but he doesn't have anything he specializes in.
I mean, what is he, a second-year player?
I want to say third, maybe fourth.
All I can say, man, is Granger has to be... His injury and healing from that surgery has to be worse than what we think it is or what we know. Like, it's not.
Maybe.
I think maybe he came back and he might have slightly hurt it again, or where they still limiting his minutes. Because he's been back long enough where he should be playing half a game, if not longer, and contributing significantly. And especially the way, like you talk about, you know, your boy shooting. What's their star? The star for their team?
Paul George.
Yeah, Paul George. The way you talk about his shooting slump, and you know,
yeah,
like his numbers. Like, you think Granger would get more minutes and more playing time to kind of, you know, to offset that bad shooting. But it's something else has to be. It seems like a
maybe they
move.
Know something about his knee. I don't, but he wouldn't have passed the physical if it was really fucked up. Like, that happens all the time in the NBA. Well, they have to veto a trade because you don't pass the physical.
But don't, if you let them know up front, can't you still pass it through?
Yeah, I think so. But normally, yeah, I think so. But he's been playing. So, you know, I'm assuming they're going to let him play. It's weird, man. That whole move is weird. And I don't like Evan Turner. It feels like they could have got something more than Evan Turner, or somebody that specialized in something at least. For this contract.
Well, that's why I say it's a desperate move. Like, like, I think that loss to Miami, right before the All-Star game, I think that they got in desperate mode.
Cause the Pelicans were trying to trade my cousin, Anthony Morrow, and, Aaron Aflalo, they were offering potentially.
What?
Yeah, I know. That's crazy.
George Shen.
Yeah, well, George Shen don't own the
anymore.
Oh,
that's right. You keep saying it.
but like, you know, I would have thought they'd be able to do something like that with the Danny Granger contract. And, they weren't able to do anything. Andre Miller got traded to the Wizards.
Who would take him?
The Wizards.
I mean, I just wanted to give him a compliment last week.
Mm-hmm.
Teams stay losing, man. They like Cleveland. They stay losing. Why would you want Andre Miller?
Yeah, none of these trades really stuck out to me. The Bobcats made a trade with Gary Neal and Luke Ridenour so we can get 3-point shooting, so we can make a playoff run. But it's like, you know, this is the one year you don't want to make the playoffs. So typical Bobcats. Kevin Love says the Timberwolves have a better team than better foundation than the Lakers. Thoughts, Laker fan?
He's asked to be traded how many times from Minnesota?
Right. Didn't he start the year asking to be traded?
Right. Exactly.
So what, he refusing to go to LA? Like, how'd he come up with this?
I think he just said that just so he could end the rumors and potentially allow the trade to happen.
Yeah. So he's talking that shit, man.
He's asked to be traded more. Like, he asked to be traded. He signed the extension for more money.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after that, he at the beginning of the year, like you said, he asked to be traded again. He wants out of there. He's just saying that now.
Yeah. And also, you part of the foundation. So yep. If you leave, they won't. The Lakers will have a better foundation.
Yep.
Stay easy. Come on, Kevin Love. You know you don't want to play in fucking Minnesota your whole life. How come nobody starts a campaign for Kevin Love getting out of Minnesota like they did for KG? Like, how many more years does Kevin Love need to toil in mediocrity before they go, maybe you should leave, bro?
They try to say because he not really a winner. They try to say, and you know, we talked about this all the time. Like, Gerald Wallace, he can put up great numbers with the Bobcats when he the only guy to go to. And Kevin Love seems to be that guy from Minnesota. But if you put him somewhere else, will he still be able to put up the same numbers and contribute?
Oh, Kevin Love definitely thinks he's better than he is. Like, he's not really a franchise guy in the means of, like, being able to carry a team somewhere by himself. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, if 25-year-old Kobe Bryant was on the Minnesota Timberwolves, they would have been in the playoffs by now. Like, Kevin Love can't take this team to the playoffs by himself. He need to go somewhere and get some help.
Kobe did it in the West. Remember that? Yeah, he went to the playoffs with Smush Parker.
Smush Parker. I'll never forget that roster. Kwame Brown. Ronnie Turiaf.
Eddie George. Not Eddie George, but...
Something George. Derek Fisher was on that team, I think.
Yep.
Luke Walton.
Fisher
was gone. Fisher was gone. Luke Walton, Chris Mim.
The Machine.
Yeah, like a bunch of niggas that are out of the league right now.
I don't even think they had a reason then.
I don't think so either. And the reason I love that team is because it proved to me that Kobe Bryant makes his teammates better. And it's something that people say against him all the time. Where are these niggas now? Because Smush Parker was out of the league within 2 years of leaving that team. Why? Because he was only able to exist in the league where Kobe Bryant was on the team with him. Yep. Period.
Where Kobe was drawing triple teams that year.
Yeah.
And he would kick it to him and he could hit that shot. But you put him in the other team where he just got to hit it with one hand in his face.
Luke Walton never started a game again. Chris Mim? What? Chris fucking Mim? Kwame Brown. Come on, man. Y'all gotta be kidding
me. Y'all was mad about him in Washington.
Yeah. Well, it's about that time, guys. I'm sorry, Jazz. La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. Hey, Mamba. That's right. Black Mamba time, y'all. Kobe Bryant offered his Mount Rushmore picks. You know, LeBron just dropped some news saying that he was going to be on the Mount Rushmore when he finished. Kobe Bryant said, let me offer my Mount Rushmore. He didn't say I would be on it when I'm finished. Why? Because he's humble like that. Okay? He's not going to be arrogant about it. Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, and Bill Russell.
Nice.
Yeah. And obviously, when Kobe retires, he'll take Larry Bird's spot.
Yep.
So, Larry Bird, he's really good player. No Kobe Bryant.
How many titles did Bird win?
I want to say two, right? Two?
The Mamba got five.
Yeah. I mean, come on. You know, my problem with Larry Bird, and this is going to sound slanderous, but it's only because people overrate him. People want him to be the best so bad. And it feels like some affirmative action shit where it's like, we need one white dude. You know what I mean? Like, on the Rushmore, we got to have one white man. And I don't see it, man. And I fucked with Larry Bird. He was real, real, real good. Hated the Celtics team because they were so good. But he was constantly surrounded by talent on that team.
Yeah, he got three. He got three rings.
Yeah, he got three rings. His career ended a little faster than it should have because he hurt his back and, you know, tough through some years later and stuff. But he was on some great teams. But when people talk about him, they act like this nigga was ever a better defender than anyone. Larry Bird will tell you he didn't play D.
Yeah, he couldn't play defense.
I saw a couple people doing their Mount Rushmore, which is, you know, idiotic thing to do in the first place, but they were doing their Mount Rushmore of players or whatever, and they were like taking exception with Larry Bird, cause I was like, shit, Kobe Bryant would be on my Mount Rushmore now. And a lot of people were saying that. And they were like, no, Larry Bird is still better than Kobe Bryant. And I was like, he won less titles. He never made one first all defensive team ever.
Yep. No slam dunk contest.
No slam. Nigga, are we serious right now? Kobe Bryant would eat this nigga's lunch, dog. And I'm not saying that Bird wouldn't score no shit, but come on, dog. Kobe Bryant was a beast when he dropped 81. What are we discussing?
I never seen Bird switch to point guard mid-season just because they didn't have one on the team.
Right. And the thing that gets so underrated about Bryant is his passing ability was excellent. That's one of the reasons y'all niggas hate him. Like, because he was a good facilitator for like 5 years. And then he switched and was like, nope, I'm going to be Jordan now. And everybody got mad at him. Like, why don't you just pass the ball, Kobe? You've been passing the ball all this time. Now you got to shoot all the time. It's like, because I can do this too.
How many of y'all went out and bought some Birds?
Right.
Because he had some shoes out.
The only time y'all fuck with Bird was Bird versus Jordan. And everybody picked Jordan in that game. Come on.
I never pick Bird.
Nobody picks Bird. If you get you don't pick Bird, you get stuck with Bird.
You got arguments over who was going to play with Bird.
Come on, man. You've been Jordan the last two times. It's my turn.
Nah, man, you gotta win to get Jordan. You gotta win.
You gotta beat me.
I can't win.
Come
I
on,
got
man.
Bird.
You keep blocking my jump shots. I can't do no moves.
Who the fuck thought that was a good idea to make that game?
Dude, they wanted.
Like, you have one player who can't do anything unless he's wide open, and another guy that does everything, and it's supposed to be fair.
Yeah. So, LeBron picked for Oscar Robertson on his Rushmore instead of Bill Russell. But Kobe's more of a student of the game, so he was like, how the fuck you gonna leave a nigga with 11 rings off right. this list, stupid?
Man, that's the thing about Kobe, man. He is great. He is the GOAT of my generation, of my time. Even though, like, I've been privileged enough to see Jordan, Bird, Magic, Kobe, LeBron, like all these guys through their career. Mm-hmm. And I like Kobe the best. And you know why? Because he's not an asshole out here refusing to take pictures with black people.
Right. Right. And people justify it because you wore some of his shoes. So apparently it's okay to be racist if you're Michael Jordan. Well, I say congratulations. But whoa. I mean, I do not say that. I don't say that at all. Yeah, don't sue me. I don't have the $5 million.
Yeah, fuck you, Jordan. I know you appreciate that slander, butter.
Kobe was hurt, man, because they traded his boy Steve Blake to Golden State. He said, not cool with Steve Blake being gone at all. One of my closest teammates is psycho competitor. Golden State picked up a gem. Hashtag smart move. So.
Now, Kobe, man, you remember, this is the thing you love about Kobe, comments, interviews, press conferences, all those things, because he can sit and curse when he want to.
Mm-hmm.
He stopped throwing teammates. Shaq, the only teammate I think he just didn't like.
And that's because of Shaq.
And I was going to say, that's because of Shaq. Everybody else, he's never said anything.
Shaq was so petty and challenged by a 17-year-old. He was so insecure. He slapped this nigga during practice. Now, what man you know gonna get slapped during practice by a grown up and wanna be that man's friend?
Yup.
Nobody. Like, I always thought that was completely old. Like, people act like that shit don't matter. Nigga, let me slap you, listener, and see if we gonna be cool ever again. You can't just do that shit to people. I never understood. I mean, why don't you just
job. At their job at that?
Yeah, it's amazing that he was cool with that dude at all on the court for the next like 8 years. And then for the record, he didn't demand Shaq get traded either. He said, I'ma think about what team I want to sign with. And then Shaq, realizing that the team was now Kobe's team and not his, rushed into Jerry Buss's office like, trade me, get me out of here, I don't want to be here no more.
Yep.
So don't even put that shit on Kobe, man. Kobe tried to work with this nigga. He even said the dude was fat and out of shape, man. Like, because that was the thing, Phil and Shaq used to go through the media because the media liked them and shit on Kobe. Kobe minded his fucking business.
Kobe be hit with interviews later on. Yeah. So how do you feel about what Phil said in his book about you? Huh?
Yeah, what did he say?
What did he say?
Yeah, ain't we on the same team right now? I mean, he's 5 feet away. I can just go ask him.
They made Kobe who he is right now.
And then when he finally lashed out and was like, hey, Jim Gray, read this during the draft. And it was like, Shaq, your fat ass need to get in shape before you start talking shit around here. Everybody's like, wow, what an asshole. What an asshole. Okay. Y'all taking up for Shaq, the dude that walks around calling them Sacramento Queens.
Yep. We're telling people to let them know how his ass tastes.
Yeah. Erica Dampierre. Okay. All right. Anyway, man, this has been another episode of Balls Deep Sports. We'll be back next week with another show, man. This was 2 hours, man. This is a pretty good clip. We'll be back next week. Send your emails, listener questions in, and we'll answer them and stuff on the air. But I'm sure more scandalous shit will be happening. We'll be catching all the news that falls through the cracks. Thanks for toughing it out. I know I was sick, and hopefully I didn't mess up the mic too much for you guys at work. But thanks for listening. See you next week. Peace.
Peace.